Log Talk Radio.
On the Edge, real talk about real issues.
Welcome to the On the Edge show with Katie Barnett and friends. I'm your host, Katie Barnett. Okay, happy Thursday, everybody. We have made it to almost the end of a new work week. Weather in New York is getting good. I hope all of you out there are enjoying a little bit of a break from Mother Nature's bitter, bitter cold winter. Now, I want to shout out a few people today, and I must begin with a couple of new listeners out there in Long Island, New York. I work in a sports arena, everybody. I'm in the middle of enjoying this hockey game that took place last night, and four of the most entertaining gentlemen stepped up to the counter where I worked. And Joe, these guys were really, really, they just really made my day. You know, you work at this place where you see so many people, and some people don't know you're there, and other people are so happy to see you because you make them happy coming in, depending on what you do. And it's just, you know, these guys took the time out to say that I made their day and that my customer service with them made them feel more excited about coming than the actual event, and that made me feel good. So I want to shout out Ron, Rob, Jack, and Chris. You four gentlemen in the sales department out there in Suffolk County, who you said no one appreciates you or gives you a pat on the back for the good that you do. Well, I'm patting you on the back, and I'm saying thank you very much because you made a very hard day for me last night. Worth it. So thank you, and thank God for all of you, and keep it moving. Look to see you there soon. To my team, Lady Diamond, Elaine Yeves, Monster Miles, DJ Dillmerker, Rodney Williams, and of course, last but not least, that wonderful activist and very, very active panelist out here on this show, and that is Deacon Zeddy Williams of Toledo, Ohio. Shouting out Stalo Jenkins, Altarich Atkins, Hakeem Zayed Bey. Who else am I missing here? Professor Carlton Jones and the On the Edge Listeners Group, the What About Us Group, the Black History Suppressed Real World Blackness and Discussions Group, the Black Love and Conversations Group, the Capitalist End Group. All of you guys have been nonstop supporters. And today, the BLAC Group, you guys were really hot with the pre-broadcast discussion today. So thank you all very much, very, very much. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, we are at 23,238 listeners. I don't know where you guys are coming from, but thank you all very much because without you, this mission would mean nothing. So tonight we are going to be touching on a subject. Now, I've used an article, but all of you know that I may be using articles, but it's not the article that's the subject. It's what the article is about. Now, one of the things that has been an ongoing mission this past couple of weeks has been the state of the Black community, getting ourselves back in order, state of the parent, how it is that we are going to deal with small but relevant community issues, familial issues, relationship issues. Well, two things that took place over the last 2 weeks is that we have been dealing with some school incidents. And today is no exception. Now, there's an article floating around on the internet, and this is one of two articles, actually two students that were actually publicized. And there's a little girl named Riley Watts out in North Carolina that was part of a class assignment where the students were supposed to go home and write an essay about someone they feel is a hero. And according to the picture in the story, what came back was that this child was given her paperback with a big red S and a big red remark that said, oh, well, let me go back to what the deal was. Well, Riley decided that her hero was Jesus Christ, okay? And what she got in return for that was her paperback with the big red S and the big red note that said, remove Jesus, please. According to the picture, everything that had Jesus Christ in the sentences was crossed out, struck out. So some speculation went around saying that it was Photoshopped. Some speculation went around. A lot of people just pretty much were focusing on the issue more than the article, you know what I mean, not the specific person. My thing is this, that despite any satire articles, despite any Photoshop specifics, despite all of that to enhance or lie or do whatever, the issue of teachers overstepping their bounds and overstepping the way that they are educating or removing education, okay, is very real. And it's very much a problem, and it very much needs to be addressed. The issue that we need to come up with is, who do we address it to? How do we get started? What is the actual solution, or at least the beginning of one, or where do we start? And what is it that we need to tell these teachers? So tonight's episode, ladies and gentlemen, is entitled Parent-Teacher Showdown. Teachers, keep your hands off my child's constitutional rights. You know how this goes? When we get started, we are going to be going out with a pre-topic song today. What we're going to do here. You know what? I'm going to go out with PR and so tired, because I certainly am. Be back in just a few minutes, ladies and gentlemen. Don't go away.
I'm just a man that's from America, but they still call him my African / American, but he should just be American. They say he white, but they don't call him European. They say I'm black when I fill out my application. My skin brown, I think somebody was mistaken. Why you need to know what my race is, you racist? What my skin color got to do with job placement? Shouldn't this be about skill? This shouldn't be how you feel about me, how I dress, if I pay my light bill. I can understand you wanting to know if I steal, but if I say no when I will, you shouldn't be in my grill and in my face and my eyes trying to see if I lie. Would you have taken my word for it if I would have wore a suit and tie? What if my skin was a little lighter, a little brighter, a little whiter, and I had a felony? Would you catch a case of Alzheimer's for me being who I am and you being who you are? We both know that my complexion does play a major part, and that's not fair. Let's switch gears. Let me see if you like what you do. Look down on you like you only stood 2'2". Don't even read your application. You white, I call you. See, that's what y'all do, make my people feel not equal. This happened to the older generation, we the sequel. I know you think we slow, look at my ancestors, I don't think so. We did so much for this country, but you still want more. First open heart surgery, stop life, uh-oh. The clock to see if I'm late or not. The mail you send it, who made the box? The janitor that you look down on, who you think made the mop? George Washington, Carver's, Benjamin Banneker, all of us. No, it wouldn't be no Steve Jobs if it wasn't for Mark Dean, Charles Drew, Madam C.J. Walker, just to name a few. But y'all think that we dumb, cage of sin like we some.
type of animal. Barely feed us, cannibals. We feed off each other, we eat off each other. So what y'all do, devise a plan to bring down the brother, man. No 40 acres, just some crack and some heroin. No mules, some rules are meant to be broken. Like selling the drugs you put in the neighborhood, y'all must be joking. Of course they smoking, of course they shooting up, of course they think they worthless. To y'all that's picture perfect.
Yeah, yeah.
Black man, wake up, this is a state of emergency. My brother tried to murder me. Black man, what's up, another one just got hit up, another one just got picked up. Made a statement, he ain't the same as us. He said he moving out the hood, cause he ashamed of us. But we ashamed of you, tell me what kind of lame is you. In the middle of the war, you just desert your crew. If you feel some type of way, then this goes out to you. Them kind of leavers, Colin Powell with Obama features. With Bill Cosby, Oprah Winfrey, pointing fingers. A generation before us is what did this. Cause we were little babies that was born coconut.
The On the Edge Show with Katie Barnett and friends, the show that gives you real talk about real issues, needs your help. Katie and the gang are seeking out individuals and local business sponsors to help fund their projects for youth and minority communities to become re-empowered, featuring programs like the Spread Your Wings Showcase, offering free advertising to up-and-coming entrepreneurs, Youth Day giving public school grades 4 to 12 a taste of the arts, and All Hands on Deck, our new writer's showcase. On the Edge is looking to give back to our communities by giving our youth a future. Your small contribution will make a difference. Individuals or small businesses can choose to be a sponsor for any amount of time. And businesses can also choose to advertise with us at very reasonable rates. Choose any type of show sponsorship, and you just may be a sponsor for a life. Visit us at Facebook at facebook.com On the Edge Show for more information on how you can be a part of our vision. We hope to see you there.
Now, back with more On the Edge.
Welcome back, everybody, to the On the Edge show with Katie Barnett and friends. That was Paul Robinson, known as PR, with So Tired, speaking about the state of the black community, all of the oppression, the stagnation, the internal hate, black-on-black crimes, white-on-black crimes. This man is tired, and the message is powerful, and he's really trying to reach out. And he's a Christian rapper, and he's out there trying to spread a message of awareness and togetherness. So it is now discussion time, and we are going to get back to what it is that brought us here tonight. We are at war with society, period. Our community in particular, there is just something about us, everybody, that they just want to keep coming back at us from early ancestry on. Now, this is a very important issue, once again, because we've been dealing with some major exposés in our children's schools. And it's not even high schools anymore. It's elementary schools. You know, that's the school age where you really, you don't expect really serious things to go down like that. You know, you don't really expect so much of that to happen. You know, usually it's the junior high school, and even that is sort of like pretend high school, and then you get to high school, the big stuff. Well, we know that that's long gone, people. Long gone. Now let's talk about this particular situation. The issue on the table is whether or not teachers have been taking it upon themselves, school systems, curricula in our public school systems, have been taking it upon themselves or being altered to the point of now your child can't even be an American anymore, meaning this country was founded on diversities, on freedoms, on the rights to be who you are and believe in what you believe in, freedom to have a religion without penalty, freedom to speak your mind without penalty, as long as you respect each other, freedom to venture out and capitalize the whichever way you can, freedom to say, do, and think and feel as long as it doesn't present danger to other people, cause a bodily harm, invade people's privacy, or impose. Okay, separation of church and state. You guys all know what that's about. Bottom line, if we want to be a little layman about it, pretty much everybody has different beliefs. There are Muslims, there are Jews, there are Christians, there are Catholics, there's Protestants, there's all these people. Everybody believes in a higher power, but it's not one higher power. Some people are out there that are secular and don't believe that anybody exists but science. However way you roll, that is what the whole beauty of being able to have your constitutional rights meet. Now, I'm all for this. Church and religion is a serious and sensitive issue, and it's something that everybody in the whichever religion they are serving or don't, it's a personal sacred thing. It's something that I guess some people can't debate. It can cause hatred, but it's really supposed to promote love regardless. So when it comes to things like politics, when it comes to things like being in the classroom, when it comes to things that govern more than one people or deal with more than one specific group in one spot and all have to abide to one thing, I totally will agree with you removing religion from the actual governing of it. I don't believe you have the right to take a person's choice out to say what they feel in public. What are we in these days? Where if you didn't praise him, what if you get shot on the spot? What a world are we living in? To tell an 8-year-old child who went home and did an essay based on instructions that clearly said, write an essay about someone you consider to be a positive influence in your life or your hero. And she did. She said, Jesus Christ is my hero. He makes me better. He makes things better. She broke it down in all three parts of the outline. And what she received for her efforts was a big fat red S with a red old note that said, remove Jesus, please. And then according to this picture, there were several red strikeout lines on anything that said Jesus Christ. Now, there's been some people that said that the article was photoshopped. I don't care. I only used the article to bring up the the issue. Regardless of whether, you know, we had Geeks.com bring out some Photoshop Polaroid from 1952. The point is, teachers are out there imposing their own beliefs and trying to take away others and trying to tell a person that because I don't agree with what you wrote on the paper, because I don't agree with what came out of your mouth, and I'm in a position to tell you yay or nay, I'm going to X you out as much as I can. And that's exactly what that teacher did. Okay? I had somebody say, well, teachers are very, very, they're under a very, very thin and scary line that, you know, they could say certain things and they could really get suspended, like, right away. Then why isn't anybody giving a damn that some teacher impose her belief that everybody who's in the gay community should be open and free and force her entire class to participate in a cross-dressing assignment for LBGT Day for awareness because she felt that everybody should love homosexuality or bisexuality or transgenderism or being a bisexual. And not only did she do that, but she forced these kids to cross-dress and take on a partner and act like a couple who's gay, walk in the streets, public affection in the hallway. And she said it was perfectly okay to do that. So if Jesus has to be taken out because Jesus is a problem, everybody can say Allah, everybody can say Jehovah, everybody can say Messiah, but you can't say Jesus. Now, why is that? Now, the parents are up there arguing with this school. And according to the school, no, we don't know where she's getting that idea. I don't even understand what's that situation. We encourage all children to write about anything that they feel free to write. Why isn't anybody saying, you know, take Ozzy Osbourne out the picture, or remove Lil Wayne, please, or remove Jay-Z, or remove, you know, Arrowheads, or Skinheads, or white supremacists? Why? Because it's supposed to be freedom of speech. Because America says, you have no right to tell me I can't believe in something. You have no right to tell me that I can't argue something. Because I don't believe that. You have no right to tell me that the best color in the world is blue when I like green. I don't care who photoshopped or did not photoshop. I care about the fact that there are teachers telling our children that who's black, they can't write about Martin Luther King and Malcolm X. We have teachers telling our children that they can't possibly believe Jesus Christ is a hero. Because I don't believe it, because I don't like Malcolm X, because I don't like Martin Luther King. You don't have the right to tell a person, I want you to dress like a man because you're a woman and I want you to understand what it's like to be gay. So where is the outrage with all of that? That's my question. Who the hell cares about what was photoshopped or what is a sensitive line? These teachers have long crossed the line a long time ago. Nobody's scared about any consequences anymore. Nobody is. So where the hell are you parents now? Where are you parents? That's the people that needs to start this up. Public schools are no longer giving a damn about you. And you know what? Let me make a very clear, broad, and important statement to all of you teachers that are out there, all of you real, scholastic, caring teachers. Please don't even think that what I'm speaking about now has anything to do with you, because I swear I wish that all of you could find some way to form a homeschooling organization and let us all be there. Dory Robinson out in Queens, New York, Ruthie Bowman, who did something for Flint, Michigan students, and there are plenty of others, Mackenzie Cameron out in Queens, those people I know. Kudos and shout-outs to PS54. We had Dolores Chris and Arthur Marston, all of those people who stood in on their students' necks and made sure the parents knew they were, because they wanted to see the kids in their class grow up to be able to run for president or be lawyers or be policemen that really cared at that time. They wanted to see the children that were sitting in front of them every day while they were pointing their pointer and their wooden stick and cracking the rulers on the tables. They wanted to see them grow up and be something. Teachers have no damn right to do anything but teach our children what it means to do algebra, to write and communicate properly, to teach them the skills that they need to not just be good communicators, but to be good people, to think outside the box, to be able to stand up for who they are and be individuals that can not only respect themselves but respect others. And if they can first start by teaching them to respect the curriculum in front of them, but they can't do that because they're too busy putting personal garbage in the way of it. You know something? It's not the curriculum that's the enemy. It's the people who keep on altering it and interpreting it to what fits them. Whether you believe that there's a God or not, whether you believe that there was a Jesus or not, whether you believe that Jesus is still coming through one of your many children, oh well, you don't have the right to then say that the other person who believes that all those things exist are not doing it, and that you as a teacher in place designed to help nurture this child's confidence, to really correct them when their English and their grammar and their paragraph formatting and their punctuations are out of place. You don't have the right to sit there and say, you got to F because I don't like the fact that you said Jesus. What kind of hero is that? You don't have the right to tell my child if you don't dress like a gay person and hug up with somebody that, whether you believe it or not, you're going to fail the course. You don't have the right to say you as a black person should not dream of being a president. You as a white person shouldn't want to be a janitor. You as a Spanish person shouldn't ever think of owning a landscaping company one day. That's not your job. Your job is to let them know, no matter how unrealistic or distasteful to you it seems, that whatever the hell you're going to be when you grow up, know your back, have your educational backup. Know how to use it. Know how to apply all these little skills that you're rolling your iPad to something that's going to benefit you in the long run. Think long term. Always think ahead. Never lose sight of where you're at. Never suck up and get absorbed by the difficulty of your immediate surroundings. Get lost in a book. Find an adventure in reading. That's your job, teachers. That's what we pay you to do. That's what you are certified to do. Let's go to a couple of other things where the schools are running off and getting a little crazy. You want to tell me as a parent that I'm not allowed to discipline my child, but you're going to tell me that as a law I must allow some other teacher to put marks on my kids? All of this is going down as the teachers keeping your hands off of our constitutional rights. Separation of church and state, that's because everybody has something they believe in and it's considered sacred and the government is not supposed to be able to touch it. And nobody can impose a mandatory law on anyone else simply because their religion states that that's the way it should be. That's what the protection of the separation of church and state is supposed to be, on a minimum. And all of you historians are ready to sit there and go, that's not what it is. There's a whole lot more going on. I'm giving the basics. And I kindly all will welcome you to come in, call in, and press one, and fill me in on the rest. But all of these things were supposed to be protected factors that were different and individual, yet formed the big picture of the great United States. It was founded supposedly on people who didn't like being ruled by a king and forced for the king in their mother country, telling them what to do. And that this was supposed to be the little England that came up and everybody was supposed to be able to be black, white, red, striped, Chinese, polka dotted, and live in one area. That's what everybody said our Thanksgiving was about, right? Two different cultures, very different people that taught them how to use the land, the seed, the grass, the trees, and make nourishing and great-tasting food. So where does a teacher get off telling some child that she has an F because she, the hero she chose and she believed and she has the opinion of, didn't agree with her, so it was wrong. And it didn't even deserve a positive grade. Not only did she give her a bad grade, she gave her an F. Does the letters get any higher than F? That's audacity. And this one I can honestly say is not just about race. This is just straight across the board. I wouldn't expect my own race to tell people on the outside what they shouldn't believe. So where do our teachers get the right to tell our children? And as I stated out, which is more disturbing part of it, is that I think that as much as all grades are important, elementary school and high school are the two most important groups to watch, because elementary school is the beginning of the journey and high school is the beginning of their actual step into reality. Somewhere in the middle in junior high school, you still have some wiggling room. But when you desecrate the innocence of a child in elementary school, when you destroy their confidence in elementary school, when you put them down in elementary school, you're breeding some angry people. You're breeding some destructive soldiers in progress. Then you're going to make the middle ground even worse, the transitional period, the pretend high school. And by the time they get there and they're supposedly ready or getting trained to become adults now, to go into the real world, to be men and women, what the hell have you done to them? It's not just the parents, and it's not single parents like everybody likes to put up there. It's the fact that everybody else is supposed to be a secondary backup or a different option or the adventure of minds or whatever the case is. It's doing worse than that. They're destroying everything that these kids have in addition. And so long as the arts programs, now the teachers are no longer even an option. They're either overtired, they're underpaid, they're overworked, they're being told to give this and that. Some of them really care about what they're doing. But being told by their bosses, we don't care what you care about. You teach them what we've given you. So these people are stepping over their bounds. They're stepping over their bounds, and your children now are being in the middle of it, are being ripped apart. The 8-year-old's confidence, she went down the drain, and I'm sure she was proud of it. And this woman wasn't even tactful. Okay, I have a panelist ready to give his opinion, so hang on just a sec. Welcome to the show, Carlos. You're on the air.
Hey, this is Carlos Otterby Jones, or Stalo Jenkins, calling from D.C.
Hey, how are you?
Hey, how's it going? How are you?
How we going? So what's your take on the situation tonight?
Man, you know, the topic tonight is definitely a testament to that. There are some people that should not be teaching. There are many, many people. And, you know, often we try to downplay that argument, because we don't want to, we don't want to overly blame the teaching staff, the people on the ground that are dealing with the children and should be, you know, as employees, protected. But we forget also, it's a lot of people that are in there that don't need to be in there. Some people overestimate their own importance. You know, I remember seeing the same post, and when I saw it, I was like, look at this. And it's like, you know, we have some people that think their youthful mentalities are really like, why? So, and some people are children themselves in the mind. I was thinking about this teacher. I was like, you are crazy. Like, why would you X out? Okay, the child should be marked on the rubric that was given to them. The question was thus. The answer was thus. You know, it fit the rubric. So you could not give the child an F. You know, I heard you say something about somebody saying it was Photoshop. I hope so. But this is what's going on. People are overestimating their own viewpoints and imposing them on the children. And, the only thing with regards to religion that has changed in the schools is the ban on public prayer. That's it. What is the fake reality that everybody is subscribing to, thinking that you can't mention God or you can't mention biblical research or Islamic research in schools, or you can't? Like, where did all that come from? Because none of it's true. You can celebrate Halloween, can't you? You can celebrate all types of stuff. You know, you can do what you want to do.
You know what? You're right. There's plenty of other things that's imposed upon people who don't even Oh, and by the way, I just got confirmation from a researcher, and a very good one, thank you, that the article is not a fake. The article is genuine. Okay? So you've got this person walking around telling these children, but I'm sorry, let me get back to what I'm saying. There are plenty of other things in the school system that have been imposed upon other children who either were never taught such customs, don't believe in it, or parents don't. Listen, they've been trying to take out the Pledge of Allegiance. Okay, not the Pledge of Allegiance itself, but the words under God. Most of the courtrooms no longer have "In God We Trust" anymore. I think even the new money has released that. Okay, all well and good. Let's see. Money is universal. No problem. Courts, I don't know. If they start taking out the swearing of the Bible, then the perjury charge is no longer applicable, I guess. So what the hell then will be our government? What will be our governance of order? What would be our rules of order? But getting back to our school system, there's been Rosh Hashanah. There's been Passover. Just that some of that actually spills over into Christian beliefs of Easter. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
There's been days that the children don't go to school. We don't get our mail over things we don't know about, believe in, practice. And some of the people who actually are part of the culture haven't practiced the faith for years. But there's days that things are shut down. We can't go into do whatever. Now, let's get back to this. Okay? What would be the excuse for a teacher forcing an entire fifth grade entire fifth grade to indulge in LGBT activities?
Being an idiot.
Why would you tell my son he must come to work? I mean, come to school dressed up as a woman, taking on a guy who's dressed up as a woman, and simulating romantic gestures and affection and touches in public, in school, for a so-called quote-unquote experiment of awareness, and then tell these children if you don't kiss each other, touch each other, general affection, hold hands in public dressed as the opposite sex, you will fail this course, which goes on your permanent record.
A complete moron.
Okay? Where do you get off telling me that I have to make my child do this? And not one person said automatically this is outrageous. There was an executive decision-making meeting before that took place, where the judge allowed to tell a young black mother that her choice of name for her newborn son, which was Messiah, is inappropriate, and she wanted to change it to something that was more simplistic and wholesome in their mind.
Did that really happen?
That really happened. And this was a child support judge that wasn't, at this time around, ladies and gentlemen, it wasn't a forcible subpoena child support case. The parents actually went in there to establish paternity and actually just have like a set thing that they could base themselves off with. And they actually went in together. And this woman was like, Messiah is not an appropriate name for a child. There's only one Messiah. And that's Jesus Christ. Bingo, I'm a Christian. That was wrong.
Wrong.
You don't
Absolutely.
Have the right to tell that. You know how many Jesus kids then would have their name changed?
Overestimating their importance because of their title. You have the teacher in the schools over top of a fifth grader who is over. Now, we have to remember one, the one reason the very young child often sees all adults as either parents or teachers is that with exception of being around, you know, close friends and relatives, the only adults they ever interact with are parents and teachers. So they're going to look at you as such anyway. So don't think you're a big bad because you're a teacher. Now you're supposed to be even more keen of the eye in regards to things like this. And that's a total failure. That's a total failure. How dare you mark out? First of all, the rubric was set, and you marked out Jesus on the paper. You're writing in red. Worry about a whole bunch of stuff you was doing. First, you're writing in red. There was an argument against writing in red. So you wrote in red, and it was of religious nature. It was a suppressive. I mean, okay, This is why we have a right, and we're going to call for a children's bill of rights across the nation, in every state, and we're going to start calling these schools into account. So these schools are ridiculous.
There's many things about the school system that need to be called into account. You're absolutely right. And we will be starting something for that. Absolutely.
There are many. Our children are in the schools being menaced every day. This is the only adult they're dealing with. Are you, the parent, and then the teacher, and pretty much no one else on a regular basis.
Absolutely. My child is supposed to be encouraged to have expressive writing, freedom of the mind. I have seen many of people in my day that used to draw pictures with sliced head and blood drops and knives coming out of their hands. And they had idolized people like Whitesnake and, Van Halen and Guns N' Roses. Even the names of that should have been something teachers got upset with if they were going to go that far.
Right.
No, Guns N' Roses implies that you're going to have a nice thing with violence.
You don't know what that meant.
It's crazy.
It's crazy. You know, the child, and not only should the child be marked as, as correlation straight to the rubric that was given, because every question was answered. Not only should that have happened, the rubric given has to be encouraging. It has to be enriching. It can't be suppressive and discriminatory, which is that's what that was. Now, not only, that's a discrimination lawsuit based on the rights of an adult.
Just
but based on the rights of a child, so the rights of the parents were violated.
Yeah, but even as an adult, you can't tell a person to write an opinion-based essay or a feeling-based essay and then turn around and tell them that what they feel is incorrect. You can't do that. And you damn sure can't do it as somebody that's involved with being a teaching factor in a child's life. That's not what you do. You can't tell somebody, I don't think that you can't possibly believe that blue is a pretty color.
Like, come on. These teachers are acting like morons. Morons.
But it's more than that. This is an 8-year-old girl. This is where confidence is broken, confidence is gained, where support happens, where safety nets are needed, where protection comes into play. And this is not just from the parents, because at some point, every child has to leave the nest a little bit at a time. And then that becomes the job of the next person in line. Okay? You cannot tell a student that an opinion-based essay is a bad one. Now, listen, if that child wrote in the essay, look, at the end of the day, everybody who don't believe in Jesus, I'm going to let them go outside, and then I'm going to throw gasoline at their feet, and I'm going to strike a match. That's grounds for you to start thinking something's wrong. But you can't tell a child that who their hero is. And guess what? Some kids, I have seen some students write that Charles Manson was their hero, then tried to clean it up by saying it was the strategy that he used. It was the mind control that he used. It was the seduction that worked that he used. I mean, how could so many people be seduced by a man to their death? And I heard no uproar. And that's a sign. You know how they say when little kids torture animals, they're going to grow up to be the worst things? Okay, I think that's a sign and a half for your behind to hear an 8-year-old say that their hero is a serial killer. Or every time that they speak about something, they want to know how serial killers' minds think. How did Ted Bundy do it? You know, I believe that if somebody is getting real deep and fascinated in Psychology 101 class, Dexter on HBO, you know, somebody might want to put the microscope on that one. Because I'm trying to wonder. Some of them will grow up and be great people. Stephen King is the most crazy writer I've ever seen, but he makes some crazy horror movies. but that he just turned out to be the mind of a brilliant writer with a wild imagination. Edgar Allan Poe wrote some of the most grisliest, dark poems I've ever read, but they were brilliant. They were brilliant. That's how you nurture it. I'm quite sure he had quite a few shocking opinion essays when he was growing up. I'm quite sure he did. So we go back again. Stalo, you work with children of all on all levels. You know, what do you think? You know, are the schools going too far? I mean, with...
Yes, they've gone too far. And not only have they gone too far, like with... With the accumulation of and the allotment of a lot of funding that's been going on nationally, there's been a lot of foul play. We've talked about it in the past when we've talked about the standardized testing and the way they've been implemented and the way they're harming children. And in the result of something harming a child, you know, doing, you never trash research. You revise your social theory, okay? So we're supposed to be revising the way we're implementing this thing because as you know, a lot of the scholars see it, this is the key to all the national problems, and we're talking about economically. So they're in the schools, and they dumped all this money. Remember, No Child Left Behind, kept leaving children behind. It was a pretty name. It was a beautiful name for a campaign, for a program, for funding, a Megatron, which is what it was. And it gave the schools all these standardized tests and all these funding to create all these programs based and curriculums based around standardized tests. And all that, and the way they did it and the way it got implemented, it was harmful. Why? Probably because the people that were implementing it had no business being there too. And that was a problem because then you get to firing people and that's terrible. But, or do you get to training people? Or do you start revising training? Do you start implementing different things? You have to do a whole bunch of different stuff. But all they did was just dump the money and then people are just scrounging around for our kids. And there's prices on each of their heads. All they're doing is counting and counting dollars.
You know what's funny? The No Child Left Behind Act, when it first came to my city, okay, the main focus that they had actually, like, highlighted when they were introducing this thing was about the children in the school buses that drivers were forgetting about or driving away with and, you know, or leaving behind. And I think that there were way more either incidents on school buses. Matter of fact, right after that big enforcement, one child was left sleeping and locked up in the school bus lot almost to the next day. Okay? No Child Left Behind. I'm watching some of these school bus drivers right now that seatbelts are not even mandatory. I've seen speeding buses turning corners, so-called
right.
Dropping children off with about five or six children standing up in the back of the bus. You know when they like going in the back of.
And there's
the bus
been no funding allotted to this to these things. You see, all they've been doing is creating little programs that mimic employment agencies, that mimic testing preparation, that mimic. You know, it's terrible, and that's not what the teaching is all about. And it's not now. The funny thing is, what we need to understand about the public school system is that No Child Left Behind comes under a way larger act of the government. It's the Equal Opportunity for Education Act or something, right? And it has to be reauthorized under each president. Right now, it's reauthorized. Right now, but right now it's called the RTTT. It's called the, hold on, no it isn't. I Am My Brother's Keeper. Is it? It's called something under Obama. But it's mimicking No Child Left Behind. That's the problem. Now, it needs to be revised, and it needs to be revised instantly. And the thing is, that act that it comes up under, we're supposed to push towards more national action to regulate a lot of how that funding was supposed to go and how the children are supposed to be taught. They're not being taught. They are not being taught. And they're not in a situation where the teachers aren't even in a situation where they can teach.
But now here's the problem, though. The ones that are actually at least teaching are teaching in this manner. They're teaching by not giving the child freedom of expression or freedom to
right.
learn or to think or to expand. They're giving them restrictions. They're giving them narrow roads, ceilings. You know, ceilings with the cap. You know, I know when people used to say, you know, think you can think as high as the ceiling. I know when they used to say that, it meant for you to think large, that you keep going, that you get high, because people used to think you could never reach the ceiling in your house before they started making these low houses. You know, and I remember that. So it's like nowadays, okay, you have teachers telling children, you can't dream to be that. You can't aspire to want that. That can't possibly be your opinion. You're not allowed in a Black History assignment to write about a Black historic leader because we don't like the fact he had too much power. But what we're saying on paper is we really don't want you to promote him because he was violent. No, he wasn't.
Nope.
Okay.
So how is it that we allow it? I mean, I don't really...
Honestly, I'm going to tell you, I've seen this, you know, and I believe human nature on a whole, if you don't have, like, that badge or that uniform that rejects the word expert in something, we tend to let things slide because of that subconscious fear of the authority. So... if it's a teacher and teacher's talking to us about our children's classwork, for a minute we tend to think the teacher's going to be always right. The teacher knows what he or she is talking about. They could possibly have a problem with my kid.
Right.
Okay, so that's one. Then you have you have that thing where, oh, well, wait a minute. If I go against the school, then I really must know what I'm talking about, or people are going to start disliking me in the neighborhood. Well, your child is getting marked, a zero or an F when they're really a 90 or an A. Your children in first grade are being mandated to meet up to the standards of forced upon seventh grade curriculum, while you're being what you see when they come home is their proper grade curriculum. So you're helping your child do one thing when the teachers are forcing them another thing.
Right.
You got to take your children out in public schools in inclement weather while the other schools that have more involved people that are watching the elected teachers and the paid officials and they're making sure that their money is being well spent don't have to worry about even stepping foot in the first snowflake. So are these teachers going too far? Are they minimizing the rights of a parent? Are they dissolving little by little the Constitution of the very thing that made our country go round, that made us a great freedom country?
Yeah, and like you said, Katie, a lot of these teachers, like you said, it's like they're scared of a false reality. Like it's not – you know, they're afraid of the false consequences of if somebody not going to like what's going on, that they're not going to like the word Jesus. Big bad religion.
No, I don't think that's what this teacher's problem was at all. Panelists, I see you there. Just hang out with me 1 second. No, and what the statement that I was making in regard to that was about parents not stepping up right away, and that's why teachers are getting away with it. I think these modern-day teachers are having a ball with the new lax restrictions.
Right.
I think all the stuff they're putting on paper, not one person behind the scenes is enforcing it. So it kills me because the people like the Miss Robinsons and the Miss Bowmans and all those people out there that used to have that ruler and them half glasses on the edge of their nose and sit up there and will get in your kid's butt. Because she or he or she knows your child is capable of much better. Mm-hmm. Who wouldn't dare impose on a child's right to believe, even if they thought it was the silliest answer in the world. They would find a creative, tactful way to make that person think around on a different angle.
Yep.
And say, now take that same point and broaden it a little bit. Where else did you go? Now take that same point and think about what the flip side of that could be.
Right. And that wasn't as unique of a character trait. You know, people are real dumbed down these days. I can hardly believe a teacher even thought that was okay. You know what I'm saying? And the fact that's the current state we in means maybe we need to really screen some people a little bit or train them harder.
Certified homeschoolers. I'll say that to the day I die. Because I think that a group of parents with education certification, okay, will teach your children a lot more realistically, a lot more freely. Because you know something? A lot more comfortably, too. When you're in a home, a nurturing environment, when you're in an environment where there are real educators who truly know how to reach a kid. Because you know something? Real teachers, good teachers, know how to appeal to every person's learning style.
Mm-hmm.
Real teachers know how to make the child who couldn't understand it under the standard formation break it down to something that child can understand. I think back to myself. Now, I'm pretty intelligent. I have no dyslexia. I have no issues. But I learn funny, okay? I learn funny. You could sit there, especially me going to college for the first time at 40, okay? And I'm around these fresh off the high school textbook 20-somethings that could tell you this, X, Y, and Z. I haven't been in a high school class since I was 18, so I'm sitting here trying to go, you know, to college, and I'm learning stuff from, all right, well, listen, I'm not stupid, I can get it, but the way you just said it, that's all Greek to me, so let's do it this way. I understand babies, food, music, and business, and writing. So tell me what that subject is and put in a simile to something that deals with movies, babies, writing, cleaning, or cooking.
Exactly, and that's why a good teacher, like you said, can teach any learning style, or that's the art that you aspire to reach. And everybody can learn anything, really. And if you can apply the right teacher, and you can apply the right student as well. But, you know, we got these people, you know, with the mentality like, oh, test them. Did they test high? Did they test low? It's like we want to stigma a lot of kids with IQ tests and all this other crap and just put them in a little place where we could just keep the funneling them into a pipeline to destruction. Man, forget these public schools. Okay. You know what? These public schools systematically, until the United States needs something passed nationally that would protect.
We're definitely going to be working on that, and I don't want to cut you, Stable, but I have one, two, three more panelists. All right, guys and girls and dolls, I'm bringing you in. Right now, so hang on, let me bring them all in. Welcome to the show, caller. You're on the air. Hello? All right. Yes, are you with me? All right, I'll get back to them. Hold on. Welcome to the show, caller. You're on the air.
Good evening, KD, and stay well. This is Al-Tariq.
Hey, Al-Tariq. How you doing? Hold on one second. I'm going to try to bring in, I'm going to bring in this panelist and the one that we almost connected with. Hold on. Welcome to the show, caller. You on the air?
Hey, what's going on? This is Professor Carl Tone Jones. I have a few minutes tonight, Katie.
You made it. This is my research guy, guys. Hold on. One more panelist I'm trying to bring in, so just hang on a second. Welcome to the show, caller. You're on the air.
I don't want to see you with this no more unless you get ready to ride that bike.
All right. We'll bring him back in. All right, so that was Deacon. We know that. All right. Al-Tariq, you were after Deacon on the pew, so what's your take on tonight's subject?
Okay, as far as the topic and what y'all were saying, you know, it was a lot of good positive things that I got from that, because I was listening before I actually, before I dialed in, and I was just talking earlier, you know, to, I had listened to some of your program last night and about how valuable it is to be teaching the kids, you know, because they're the future. But the funny thing and how I think about it was something I learned earlier today. And it was based on how basically for minority kids, you know, especially that we are like criminalized. And I think even the way that they set up these standardized tests and things like that, if it's not geared towards everybody and all the students, then that is criminal in itself.
Right.
You
and
know, well, how, if you are setting up children for failure, if you don't know certain things that you're putting out on these tests, you know, and all these schools that shutting down and everything, it really shows you how much the system itself values the education of certain people, of certain, you can even say groups of people, because you don't hear these other schools shutting down. I feel
well,
that
right
if
now,
other schools are shutting down, then these other schools, if they're going to be doing like that, why aren't they shutting down? What is the scheme behind that? Why are they taking out all this money to go abroad, fight wars and all that stuff, but we can't think about the upliftment of the people here that can help this country to be a greater country, if that's the case? You can't be great if you don't have intelligent people and educated people. You are deducting yourself, and that's not wise at all. That doesn't seem to be a wise system of education at all. It told me when I was in school, the logo was, it's cool to be smart. So if you're not teaching these children and helping them to be smart and training them in a way to help them where they can help to uplift this country, if this really is all of our country, then the smart thing to do would be to educate them. But education is really being put on a back burner, especially for poor kids.
And unfortunately, a lot of the parents aren't stepping up in our communities, and that is another reason why they, I mean, look, we already know that nothing is going to be given to us, afforded us, you know, given to us, afforded to us, allowed us, you know, blessed for us, anything. But you know, we have to get it to the point where at some point we have to really, we have to get tired of being tired.
Right.
You know, I'm sorry, let me just say this one thing because I want to give Professor his shot, but this is where I'm at right now with this, ladies and gentlemen. This is where I'm at, and I want to say again before I move on to you teachers that I've mentioned a few earlier, but Professor and Stalo and Al-Tariq, even you, without you being a certified educator, you are educating in so many other very important ways. So I want to thank you guys for not being part of this Otsy tonight. But I want to say this. We are already being slapped around and whipped up and cut up and dissected and all this stuff. Some cases literally and other cases metaphorically or proverbially. We're out there going through all of this already, and it's not doing us anything. So don't we deserve to give ourselves a shot to try something? To try something? Aren't we tired of, like, laying back? Aren't you guys tired?
Yes.
Aren't we tired of seeing the kids go down the damn drain?
Right. A test is a tool for learning. It's not a badge on your destiny or something. And that's why they're using it. They're penalizing the kids. And that should be illegal.
No, it's the next place that we're being passive in. It's the next place that very few of us are using our power. Listen, they've already taken away, or our leaders have already rightfully walked the hell off of their roles. So we don't have town halls. Well, our town hall conference meeting places, the church, is gone. So what's the next place to go? The next place that a group of people in the community actually have a voice? The PTA meetings. That's the next place where there's something the government can't touch.
Those can be.
And I do need to give Professor his shot because he's already coming in, you know, on a very tight schedule. Go ahead, Professor Jones.
Oh, no, I appreciate it. You know, one of the things that you asked, and yes, are we tired of it? And the answer is no, obviously not. You know, one of the things, well, yeah, you are, but as a community, we have been conditioned to endure everything. And then what do you see? All of the media, you know, from movies, 12 Years a Slave to The Butler, it's all about enduring the hard times, waiting through, seeing it through, and so forth. So as a people, we're just enduring. And in addition to enduring, we're being supplemented with reality TV, television shows such as Scandal, all of these different sorts of media. We have Facebook, we have Twitter, Instagram. So basically, we are being preoccupied mentally so that we don't focus on these things. Imagine how many people are up 3 a.m. in the morning just watching their computer screens or checking their cell phones to see if somebody messaged them or contacted them while these other issues, these pertinent issues, go unaddressed. So those things that we need, those are things that contribute to the malaise in the community and so forth. Now, to give a little more information about that story with the young lady, the young lady protested, I think there was a legal group out of Texas called the Liberty Institute, and the Liberty Institute, which is, I guess, is a Christian organization, they protested along with the student, and the school reconsidered, the principal and the teacher met, and the young lady received an A for the report. So that just goes to show that when you have some type of activism involved, you can make a difference. And it goes back to what you're saying, Katie. It just takes a few people to go forth. You know, no revolution was ever won with the full endorsement or the full activeness or the full the full complement of the people in mind actually taking action. So even the American Revolution, if you want to get historical about it, was only won with 10% of Americans, of the colonists fighting the British. So when we look to make our moves, we can't continue to expect, and I don't think anybody here is that delusion anymore, to expect the entire population to go forth. But it does hurt to see that you're putting forth effort and people are refusing to acknowledge that a change needs to take place. And even for those who recognize that a change needs to take place, for some reason or another, they still refuse to take steps in that direction to assist in the change. So I sent you another article about what was going on, and I think it was something we spoke on several months ago about New York City and the banning of book reports if they had Malcolm X in it because for Black History Month, because according to the school board, he was too revolutionary or he was too violent, and they didn't want to stir up that type of emotion with the children. So what you're talking about,
I just mentioned
that.
I just mentioned it.
Yeah,
you know?
Okay.
And one of the things that equates to is he was a Black guy that had too much of white-type power. And that's still a personal damn opinion. It's still a personal dislike. And as I was saying, I had about 7 comments who mentioned to me that the picture that came with this article that was the catalyst for the topic tonight was Photoshop. And my thing is, who the hell cares? Who the hell cares about what's there? Forget the messenger and look at the damn message. The message is that these teachers are overstepping their goddamn bounds. Forgive me for that swear. They're overstepping their bounds.
It's going further than that, Katie. You know, it's not just the teachers. What's happening
is
it's the whole system. You know, they're still floating around that idea down in Arizona and in Texas to replace slavery in the history books, you know, with other milder terms to describe it. So, and all of these things, when you see sad things that people label as satire articles and things of that nature, basically what you have is you have think tanks pumping ideas out there to gauge public reaction to it. And it's about something that's in the works, similar to when you see movies and so forth, and movies talk about things like for the longest, every movie you turned on had a black president. Well, it was all about predictive programming, seeing if, you know, how the public reaction would be to having a black president. So you would check and gauge public reaction by the movie reviews. Well, similar things happen with satire articles. So when you have a satire article, and make no mistake, the article about this story with the young lady choosing God as her idol was not a satire article. It was a real article. You can go to the Christian News Network website if you want the official story. So but going back to the whole idea of satire, a lot of these articles and things like that are put out there in satire are used and generated to generate a conversation about an issue or a topic that's on the table, that's about to come forth, that's about to be revealed. Nothing happens by accident. None of these people that are working on these things, these social engineers, as I like to call them, they're not doing anything but preparing the public for what is about to come. The next page, what's on the next page of the agenda and so forth. So these are some of the things that come forth. Now, when you look at
what's happening. We are also the social engineers as well.
Say that again?
We are also the social engineers as well. We really are the only, oppression in this country. Either way, we've been really suppressed in the last few decades, but really we the only thing that sparks any type of...
No. You're absolutely right, Sheila. I can all stay alone. I apologize. I don't know why. You know, I heard the show last night, and I accidentally called you Cee-Lo the first time I met you. So, but Stalo, you're absolutely right. You know, but we are the counter to the social engineers. So we're countering their social engineers by exposing them at every turn. So when they put this garbage out, we need to come out and when they put out their agenda and they start to fuel the engine and so forth. That's why we have the alternative media, which is the internet, which is Blog Talk Radio, which are blogs and things of that nature. And you can tell it's effective by the legislation that's been that they've attempted to pass over the last several years. When you have CISPA and legislation like that floating through Congress that tries to ban and censor internet information and so forth, then you get to see the larger picture that this is effective and this is an effective medium to share information. So I just wanted to chime in a little bit. I have to go because I have to take care of a few things, so I will still be tuning in. But I definitely appreciate you guys bringing this topic up because it's important for people to recognize that censorship is happening in the schools, and not only in the schools, it's happening in colleges, it's happening on school boards, and you better be careful to look into electronic media such as the tablets and all those different pieces of downloadable information, because what's happening with that is that they're rewriting the history books, they're rewriting definitions, and they're rewriting stories from the past, and they're changing all of the words and all of the literature. So I think a bigger thing to look at is the actual attempt at censorship here. Good night, all. Thank you, and God bless.
Good night.
And thank you very much, Professor.
Thank you.
And thank you for the information. So if you see anything on the side, please do it. Tariq, I actually want you to re-chime in there.
Think about it, too. That was
you're breaking up a little bit, doll.
Can you hear me now?
Yes. Yeah, but you sound like you're a little bit underwater.
Can you hear me better?
Yes. There you go.
Okay. Yeah, I liked all of what the brother had said just then. And I like I just thought about what you had said, and you said, although you don't have, you know, I was thinking about that too, as far as a formal education. I don't have a bachelor's or anything like that, you know, but I look at some of the greats who've done things and who started movements and were successful sometimes, but for some of them times. You look at Malcolm X. He went to colleges that he had never been to, and he didn't have any of those paper degrees. And guess what? They couldn't handle him. It's not just about what the world is giving out. It's about the degrees that you have in your heart and how willing and determined you are to learn. You have to have great students to be great teachers, you know, and he was one of them. Mm-hmm.
One of the most successful business people in my community when I was growing up, before he packed up and, you know, retired and moved away, he said to me, because I was like, I remember I was about 11 years old, and I used to go into, you know, the office because I used to, like, I was always hustling a job since I was younger. And I remember I used to either want to sweep his front stoop or his office, or I wanted to pass out flyers. You know, because at 11, that doesn't bother you, you know. But I remember, and I looked around his office, and he had so many awards from the schools and the things. And I was like, wow, you're really smart. And I said, you could learn how to teach people. He says, listen, education is always great, but degrees for me, it just turned out to be a receipt for my very expensive education. But he says, even with the degrees, the real learning and the real teaching is what you do with your hands on and what you walk in the shoes of.
Mm-hmm.
So you could, that's like somebody saying, I went to school for guest relations. You can't be taught in no school how to deal with a person.
That's right.
You could be given some basic suggestions, but suggestions don't work for every different person.
Right. You can't speak with a business.
Thank you. There's no degree for how to be a good customer service person. Are you kidding me? There's no degree. The degree is life. But, of course, you going in and having some professional backups and knowing how to work something technically. Yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But, you know, what you're doing is important. Stalo, what you're doing is important. Definitely what Professor is doing is important. Hakeem, wherever he may be, is doing some important things out there where he's at. You know, and Deacon, of course, you know, he's everywhere doing what he's doing. They haven't been on all sides of the tracks. You know, so those things are priceless, and no degree is going to be able to take that or leave it with you.
Yeah.
You take what you have. But getting back to the situation tonight, are these teachers and this school system is ruining our children, and they're supposed to be the outlet for adventure and options and life for our kids.
Right.
This woman told her to write an essay about who she feels is a hero, then turned around and told us that our hero is a failure.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. You choosing that hero is a failure.
That's a shame.
But telling my son that he better come to school dressed like a damn woman and mandatorily pick up another guy dressed like a damn woman in middle school for some gay awareness project. And not only that, but he better be affectionate with this cross-dressed other ass. Are you freaking kidding me? Oh, you don't believe me? I'm going to tell you right now. It's in Marvin in middle school. And the name of, we're going to go right there right now. That one had my blood boiling quite a bit. Let me see what's the name of the school. Okay. Well, first of all, I don't know if this was a teacher or a principal, but her name is Karen Shandell. And she said that the reason she did this was because, quote, I won't rest until there's an out-of-closet homosexual in every family. End quote. End quote.
What? No.
I repeat, I will not rest until there's an out-of-closet homosexual in every family.
That's ridiculous. Ouster. Ouster. The people
Oh, but we can't write about Jesus because, no, we got to be homosexuals.
Oust her.
All right?
We got
to
stop.
And this book told to the children that did they not only cause stress, but pick up a partner who caused stress and show signs of public affection, that they would fail.
Start ousting.
I feel that it's kind of like, and it's a shame, because when you look at it, Paul, you know, although they took in certain things out of school, you know, that's based in, you could say religion or spirituality, you know, whichever one you want to choose on that. But when you look at it, it says that we're a Christian nation. So why all of a sudden there's certain things that were supposed to be of high value? You know, you got different factions of society showing you that they don't really value that. It was, I feel as though it was a ploy when you just look at history on the whole and what it teaches you when you really look in with your eyes open, you know, with realizing things. And it's like, well, y'all must have given this to us just to have us, you know, keep us in check. Because now we can't even talk about Jesus in school, and this is what we say that this nation is all about?
But Muslims can say Allah, and Jehovah's Witness can say Jehovah.
But that's not even...
And the Jews can have not only holidays, but impose certain half days and impose other holidays and say whatever it is they're going to say. And we are actually learning a lot of their culture and their custom.
Mm-hmm.
All right? While all of our you know, supposedly great leaders' birthdays are now being consolidated into one national holiday. We can't have sort of diversity all the way around, because although this country was founded on Christianity and love and equality, okay, somehow, I don't know if it's greed or quest for power or whatever it is, eliminated all of that.
Right. Because under all that current stuff, we have no nation. But you know, you're only a nation when you declare that right at a reasonable time. We are a nation. Well, a lot of us don't declare. We are black American, African American, whatever you want to call it. But you yourself, and that was being suppressed. You know, it was so funny. You know, sometimes children don't know that they don't know something. They don't know that they don't know. And you know, we mistake that for something that grown people have. There's some grown people that have something called complacency. It's similar to not knowing that you don't know, but when you're grown, you don't have that luxury. You see, you break free of that. But we have people in these higher-ups, and I'm talking about teachers and principals and higher than that and regional and this and that and whoever. All of them need to be reevaluated. Someone needs to be reevaluated, or the current law needs to be reevaluated so they will reevaluate themselves. Because, and then like you said, a customer service, to admit, and it's funny because the country is so defiled until we take a stand and we, you know, call out. Because to admit that customer service is absent of a degree, it doesn't have a degree necessary. A person out of that degree could jump in customer service and do it well. Not at all. So that would also admit that people in that industry should be treated to a higher degree federally. You know, should be paid to a higher degree. We know this.
These are the unbalances that we need to attack, because it starts out in the schools, and it goes out into everything that we know is a problem, like the fact that people are working their asses off. Excuse me. People are working and being underpaid all over the country, especially here in D.C. People being underpaid up to 40% here. To the national average and stuff like that, and certain jobs.
Wow.
I
need to bring this up that I just discovered, and further researching the principle that I spoke about, that forced to cross dressing. Two other articles came up with regards to forced imposed rights of one person to another. Listen to this, okay. There was two different facilities, okay? One school in Wisconsin that was in the Tippecanoe School for the Arts of Humanities in Milwaukee celebrated something called Gender Bender Day, okay? Where kids, it was a school spirit week with a series of events for students in kindergarten through eighth grade. Members of the student council chose Friday as Gender Bender Day, where it voluntarily calls for boys to dress like girls and girls to dress like boys, okay? Now,
what?
Pacific Justice Institute, all right, reported that parents at Florence High School in near Colorado Springs became irate when they learned that a teenage boy was entering girls' bathrooms and, according to some students, even making sexually harassing comments toward the girls he was encountering. When the parents confronted the school officials, they were stunned to be told that the boy's rights as a self-proclaimed transgender trumped their daughter's privacy rights.
That's crazy. You know what actually happened is a teacher encouraged such action. Someone in the schools encouraged said action. And in encouraging it, a child thought that was okay. And that's what happened. And to scapegoat, they tried to double reverse civil rights law. And it's not true. It makes no sense. None whatsoever. It's not even like a question or argument. Whoever's best school should be, that school should be shut down. They shut down schools all through D.C. I can't count how many schools are shut down. Okay? Now, real schools that were teaching in communities, but now all the kids have been funneled to it. There's so many charters. Not to say anything bad against them all, but some of the people within them probably have issues, you know. But I know that the system in itself, as far as the testing, I know is being misused. Because it's penalizing a lot of children that are being harmed by it. They're being harmed, and they have endless potential. Yet, the testing system is encouraging to them sometimes to do poorly, and sometimes it's falsely testing them poorly when they have endless potential. I mean, and this is when we revise things. We revise social theory for a reason. Now we got to revise the way this is being implemented. Some of this is harming children, so now we implement something to cause it not to harm children, or we revise it altogether. But usually we could just add a passage or something like that. Usually in a mindset, in a mentality, usually we can add something that augment what's going on. And that's what we keep doing. We keep augmenting it a little bit enough in the favor of human rights. And we need to keep on doing that.
I have another panelist in, sweetheart. I'm sorry. I need to bring them in before we run out of time. Just bear with me, okay?
Absolutely.
Welcome to the show, caller. You're on the air.
Good evening, Lady Barnett, and hello to the panel. God bless you and your families.
Welcome. I think we lost you a little earlier. Okay.
Yeah. I got kind of sidetracked because I was at a party I was invited to, and it looks like it was more kids at this party than it was adults.
See, thinking you're a man of many activisms.
Well, I was listening in. It's very, very interesting subject, and it really is something when you have a teacher that makes it mandatory to have a child dress up in women's clothes. I'm glad I wasn't one of the parents that had a child going to that school, because I would really have a serious issue with that. for the simple fact, you know, basically, let me tell you something that happened to me yesterday. I was riding on a train, and I was riding on a train, and when I got on the train, there was at least about 8 to 9 people in this car. And I'm like, okay, everything's fine. I see a few women, a few men, and I see these two guys sitting together. I figured, well, they're just, you know, chummy buddies. Okay, I was kind of sleepy, so I nodded off for a minute. And then when I came out of my nod, I'm like, wait a minute. These two dudes sitting over here kissing. And one guy got his hand down this other guy's pants. I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. Wait a minute. I had to pinch myself. I'm like, where did I wake up at? What's going on here? And I looked across at this other guy, and he looked at me, and I look at him. I just shook my head. I said, you know what? A lot of people are saying in our days that we are living in the end times. And I don't care about what your sexuality is, but don't try and shove it down my throat. You know, something like that really made me feel like I wanted to puke. And if I had to puke that night, I'd have puked up all over both of them. That's something. Now, suppose you had kids on this train and in the same car. You were trying to show these kids that this is okay? And it's just like the same in the school. You're trying to force something on these kids. They're not old enough to make choices for themselves yet. So why are you going to put stuff in their heads? Because it's not okay. Like I said, I'm not going to judge anybody, because that's not for me to do. I'm not going to do that, because I know I have to be judged eventually when I leave this world. Because I don't care what they say or who says it. I know what the Word of God says, and says that is an abomination. So, and I'm going to leave it at that.
That's a deep thing, but the one thing about it, what I heard from what you said, Brother Deacon, and it's just so scrambled up in the society today, is that they will have gripes with that, because you know why? They're gonna say, this is love. A man and a woman can kiss in front of everybody, so why can't we?
But you see why the double reverse is so despicable, and you see why it's so villainous that it's actually harmful to so many. Look at these children. For somebody to think that argument is okay means that you was once one of those children that was totally out of your mind, and now you double reversing. You out here double reversing civil rights coming out of college or whatever.
Gentlemen, I want to interject for 1 minute, because on the points that all of you have made, to me, listen, it doesn't matter to me what your orientation is, because that's not for me to judge, as you said, Deacon.
Yeah, that's not the point.
My thing is that there are certain things that are just not appropriate for you to impose on someone else. Now, what I mean by that is this. I had a situation with the daughter that you guys all heard me speak of. That was abducted by the gang and went through her trauma. Now, at that point, there was a time where she had told me she was bisexual. And she did it, I think, more to a term of, I guess, shock therapy for me, or whatever the case is. Like, that was supposed to make me go, what? Listen, the bottom line is this, okay? I don't care if you are a bestiality person. I don't care if you want to deal with, you know, seven people with seven heads and six arms, or you're an octopus, or I don't care. The point is, certain things are for your private use. There are people outside, like you said, children who don't know how to deal with certain things, who are not supposed to be exposed to certain things. It's supposed to come with a gradual process. Or, as they see it, we need to explain it. Okay? And frankly, for me, children are not supposed to be involved with sex to a certain age anyway, because aside from the physical action of it all, there's a mental, emotional, and psychological responsibility that comes that they're just not prepared to handle.
Right.
So with that being said, in elementary school, they should be nurturing the basics of these children's progress. These children's progress. Okay? So for a child to first have the mindset of expressing who they feel is their hero, no teacher has the right to impose her personal or his personal views, disagreements, or otherwise in telling a child that their choice is incorrect, unless it's a math problem, because math is a direct science. Okay? 1 + 1 = 2. There's no way around it. You can't make it 4. Okay? So you can mark an X on that and say it's absolutely wrong, because that's a direct yes or no.
I just want to see what's going to become of it.
I don't know, but I'm saying that it starts with parents. Okay? I say that it starts with the parents. I say it starts with us getting pissed off and acting on it. That's what that is.
Mm-hmm.
I say it starts there. I say if you don't start saying something and keeping your foot on it and following up and making sure action happens, we're going to be stuck right where we're at. A bunch of young children being set to standards that have nothing to do with them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Exposed to things or forced to absorb things that either they weren't taught, they don't agree with. Okay? They don't understand. It's not relevant to them. If I'm not Jewish, why do I have to understand how it works in their synagogue? Unless it's for cultural sensitivity training or for you to just understand a different culture. That should be what it's about. You wanting to be excited about learning something different. That's what it's supposed to be for. A learning experience. Not for you to tell me, no, no, no. See, my way is more civilized. My way works. My way is the way. Isn't that what happened with the Native Americans?
Yep.
Didn't we start out saying, oh, my God, thank you for showing us how to make corn. So wait a minute. You got all this land that we could build houses and golf courses and offices and grand buildings, and you want to walk around in loincloth and an arrow?
Mm-hmm.
That's savage.
Mm-hmm. That's not real education right there. That's not smart. It's not true education worth a hill of beans. To treat people in the highest education really in life is to treat people the way you want to be treated. That's the best education man can have. And if you're not treating those people right, then you're not an educated person at all.
And the funny thing is, Hussari, and no matter what religion you're in, there is some rule down there, worded however which way it's customized for that religious faction, that equates right back to that meaning. The golden rule, do unto
That's
others.
Right.
You know, all of this, there's always something that comes back to that moral right there. So as much as we try to be different because our addresses are different, because our uniforms are different, because our cultural robes and our sandals or our long pants or our head-to-toe covering, all of that on the outside is different. But on the inside, everything is the same. But we just have the beauty and the amazement, supposedly, in this country of being able to do it our own way. Problem is now, we're starting to, it's like, I forgot which one of the diseases, and I think it's lupus, that attacks the body itself or attacks its own self. So we it's like we become our own worst syndrome. We can't let that happen to our generation. They're in dire straits as it is, but at least many of them are still in that teaching and transitional phase, still looking for guidance, still looking for somebody to say, get over here, what are you doing? Put that dress down, take that earring out your ear.
Mm-hmm.
They're still looking for somebody to rebel against because rebellion is against somebody that's showing care. And it's fun for a while. It's something for them to do. But when reality hits them in the face, it's you they're going to turn to.
Mm-hmm.
But the bottom line is, teachers, keep your hands off my child's constitutional right. Their right to express themselves, to choose, to say what they feel, to practice their faith they believe it, to deem something a higher power that fits them.
Yeah, you're so right about that.
You know, there are countries that find the cow sacred.
Yep.
There are countries that worship the dog. There's another culture, I think in the Hindu culture, that worships a female god that has, like, all these hands.
Mm.
You know? There's people that believe in the cow.
Mm-hmm.
The goat, the jackal.
Mm-hmm.
Some cultures don't believe that pork is right, but other cultures think it's the sacred meat of the month.
Mm-hmm.
You know, wine is an atrocity in one area where it's a grand holy thing in another. You don't have the right to tell somebody that their way is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But you especially don't get to tell it to a second grader. You especially don't get to tell it to a kindergartner. And you damn sure don't get to tell it to my child as a teacher. Now, according to this article, Riley Watts Tarrant Heather confronted the school, definitely wasn't happy about the situation, and the principal and the teacher in question had a meeting with her. And still, after all of that, after telling the press, we encourage the children to write about anything they want. There is no restriction here. They're still telling this little girl to take Jesus out the picture and do not write about him. Now, let's say that after all of this, they allowed this child's essay to get through, right? Who the hell is going to believe that if they give her a bad mark, it came from an objective place? Especially after they've been raked over a public polls. They're not going to try to find some technical loophole that would be a good cover and scapegoat to explain the situation. No way. I don't care if it was legit. And that's the problem. You started off wrong, now everything's tainted. And even if she did allow the child to come back in second round and do it again, how is the trauma of what just took place going to be repaired? How are you going to unring that bell for that child?
Right, you
go ahead, Stalo.
I mean, we're going, I don't know, is it because the piece of teachers are underpaid? Is that why the performance is so low? Is that what it is?
I think some of these teachers, really, with the way that our Constitution has been chopped apart, with all of the bold racist things that's going on, with all of the bold laws that are being changed, with all of the absolution of our Constitution now being up to the highest bidder, I think these teachers are finally trying to say what, you know, some of the ones that are not so ethical. I think this is the perfect platform for them to introduce their own thing. Turns out, the cross-dressing, first cross-dressing school thing is rumored now to be a satire article. However, coincidentally, the principal who it was up for questioning for quoting what I just said that she quoted about. She wants to make sure there's a out of the closet homosexual. Happens to be an openly, an open transgender woman.
What the hell?
Okay? She's an open transgender woman, and that's not a hoax. And not only that, the other two that I just mentioned came from that article being deemed a hoax, and it was too close for comfort. But you know what the writer of that article said at the end and the closing was, sometimes the truth is scarier than the fiction.
Yeah.
The truth is scarier than the fiction.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is happening all over the place. These children are being told to do things that either their parents have deemed abominable, their beliefs have been taught that is wrong, or they personally just don't want to go there. That's like a person who's been part of the Woodstock age talking about that. I'm not going to stop until every child here has tried weed. Try it. Just try it. Ain't nobody ever died from weed. I hear that often. Lord, do I hear that often. No matter what you heard about drugs, you've never heard anybody die from weed. You never heard about weed making anybody go out there and do anything crazy. They'll just be sleepy or they'll eat you out of house and home. And
right.
Nobody ever got crazy over smoking nicotine either, right?
Yeah, that's not even the rubric. That don't even make sense.
You never heard anybody needing a cigarette so bad that they robbed their mama. Okay? You've never heard that. But is cigarettes any good? The best thing I could do when I was smoking, and I would tell you right now, it's hard, was to tell my children, you looking at what mommy's going through? You see how hard it is for me to quit? If you are not in it, don't start it. Trust me, from a person that's struggling like crazy to get off it. You want to sit there and tell a little girl that her hero... Let me ask you a question, gentlemen. You know, why isn't anybody saying to take, you know, Guns N' Roses, Whitesnake, you know, Jay-Z, Lil Wayne? Why is anybody saying that that's a bad person to pick? Lady Gaga, Miley Cyrus? I want to be just like Hannah Montana when I grow up. I want to use foam fingers and pretend I'm masturbating at 17. I want to be Lady Gaga where I can kiss girls and dress in me clothes and look like a devil on one day or be a whore on the other day.
Wow.
All in stage fun, of course. And I'm so happy that she calls us all a little monsters.
I believe it's that way because a lot of these things are pushed, you know, and that's what a lot of times people don't see, the little subliminal messages that are given. We live in a society, basically, especially for those of us who would be considered the have-nots or close to it, to conform. We live in a conformist society, and it's like what you said, do what I said, or, you know, we're going to have to do something about you. And this is how it's been going. I mean, everybody who has stood up for righteousness' sake, you know, they found a way to some type of way try to demoralize them, or even if they had to go to the highest of heights and take their life. But people who have tried to bring true value even in our society, being just in America, you know, they've been, you might as well say, nailed to the stake. And, I mean, they're doing all this outrageous stuff. There's no true voices out here for us. You know, I mean, it is true voices out here. There's some people out here, you know, you just don't be hearing about them. There's some that's on here. This is a big start, you know, but... It's just so hard because we don't have enough of the people that's in the positions who want to do the right thing. You got us outside fighting when we need people that's on the inside of the things that we're talking against to be fighting. and they're just going with the grain, and a lot of them know that it's not right, but they're going to go with it because I'm not losing my job for these kids.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Right. I'm with you. I'm certainly with you on that. You know, it's on the other hand, though, Al Tariq, we know this. You know, we know this. We know that nobody is going to accept change without trying to silence you, especially if whatever wrong they're doing is their easy train.
It's all good.
But I'll tell you one thing, they can't knock down the lot of us.
That's right.
Okay, and every time one person goes down, somebody else is going to come back. Maybe those people that's coming back needs to study what went wrong with the people who tried before them and sidestep that and anticipate a little further.
Yeah, you're right.
But first and foremost, have the internal drive, passion, and disgust with the situation to make something happen. And like I've been speaking, work with your own backyard to start with.
Mm-hmm.
You can't control the mountaintop. You can only control the molehill. You can only control the molehill. And until you can master that, God's not going to allow you to master anything bigger. And that's my belief on the Christian scale. Those of you who are non-believers, I'm sure you have some other secular logical cliche or proverb that you can quote, and you're perfectly free to do so. See, I'm not telling you that you shouldn't be a believer. You should be a
right.
believer.
Right.
So
and
why?
You know,
why go ahead.
I think, people are thinking so small these days, but we got access to so much more big knowledge. Like the PTAs could be churches. You know, or monthly churches or something like that. Or like, just think about, you know, like brother was saying, they always try to neutralize a threat when they see a threat. And the thing is, they do. They always try to defame your character first. And once they do that, they will try to take you away from here. But, you know, with faith, who cares what they will do and what they've done in the past? You know, maybe now it's harder to do so. Maybe it isn't. I won't let that fear, or no one should let that fear stop them from doing anything for us. Because we got to keep going. We got to keep going strong, man. Because like Katie was saying, they try to replace slavery with milder terms, and we just sit back like, oh, we just supposed to sit back and watch how it goes. No. Think about this, and I just thought about this. You know, I never used the internet. I was very, 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 very distrusting of the whole thought of being that exposed on a electronic medium. However, I just thought about it. Like, what if Malcolm X, when he was alive, what if he had a Twitter? So would they have been able to defame his character in such a way that they had a man that was living an honest, religious, devoted lifestyle as a husband could be defamed for many, many years, all the way up until one Spike Lee movie that brought to light some of the misconstrued notions and brought to light a lot of the things in America that were double reversed that nobody saw before. Now, moving forward, we've come a long way from Spike. Like, I just think of that. Could they have killed Malcolm? Like Malcolm, if you know, we just even think about, you know, if you imagine when they were, you know, and if the school's trying to ban Malcolm, that's what? Oh, that's absolutely out of control. And the fact that anyone is questioning whether or just what, like, you know, it's illegal. And the imbalance is like this. The states have all control of the schools, period. The states make these decisions. We to make decisions. Now, federal law does protect equal opportunity employment. So when you're a teacher, you get protected. So we got protected teachers and unprotected students, because they're just part of the state law. this control of just being a child in the school, in the public institution. Now, there is a misbalance now, and that misbalance, I think we've missed all the while they were doing the test on how to teach and getting all of the learning styles down and everything. I think we forgot how to figure out how to teach. And the thing was, and I think that was the main thing, you know, at the end of the day, we can look at everything in a greater sense. You know what I mean? Like, they've dumbed everybody down to thinking, you know, this is how it has to be. Right now, it doesn't have to be. And, you know, they just got to, they would have to come so much stronger to kill a leader these days. And, you know, they would, and, you know, I just pray to God that all of us are protected, you know. But, you know, it's a lot of things that we don't see and don't perceive, though, that are going on that people don't understand. And so all we do together, all together, since they banned public prayer in schools, we pray together. You know, as we're talking, we, you know, keep it 24/7. Try to, you know, I believe it's something in the scripture that references ceaseless prayer. As we're talking, we, and as we're living our lives, you know, and in and out of the mix of communication, we're using it for, you know, I guess to amplify the things we need to do in our real lives, man. We really need to see the difference in where we are, where we were, and it's not that far removed. The internet is a new invention. Like, the way we doing, like right now, we're on Blog Talk Radio. You know, there's always been radio, but they just revised the old thing.
Touch, baby, because our last 2 minutes, and I don't like to do this, but I will be continuing a follow-up, not directly on this, but encompassing this, because we do need to take a stand for our next generation. Al-Tariq, thank you. Salo, thank you, Deacon. Professor, if you're still listening, thank you. And to all of you that have made us where we are today, I want to thank every one of you. So join me again back here tomorrow at 10:30 p.m., please forgive me. So until then, be blessed, be a blessing, and make a difference. Good night, everyone.
Good night. Where is it?
I swear. Just imagine if when he was ducking in hotel rooms, we could have followed his Twitter.
On the Edge, we'll talk about real issues.